Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, EB, JP. I'll be in Richmond on Saturday night for AWOD's Football Fest, kicking off 6 o'clock River City Roll in Scott's Edition. So come on out. Should be a good time.
You know what you should do? You should just make it an evening. You should get a hotel. You should have Jess come out there.
Thought about it.
Yeah, just get hammered.
Just have,
hotel sex.
I got soccer on Sunday morning early.
That's
like
all right.
Three scrimmages.
Get up at 6, drive back, you'll be there.
Yeah, it's too hard.
Yeah, he ain't doing that.
If I stay at a hotel in Richmond, then I'm not gonna want to get up at 6 a.m. to leave.
I did that.
Actually, I probably have to get up at like 4:30 a.m.
I did that every weekend. I would leave New York because it's a 5-hour trip, where I was, you know, upstate New York or whatever you call it, and it would take 5.5 hours. But I didn't want to be in my car like all day. I wanted to knock it out early, so I'd leave at like 5 a.m.
I'm more of a late night person anyway.
Yeah.
So like, I don't have a problem with that. Like, my buddy Mark, who lives in Richmond. You might remember Mark Clark. His wife, Renee, used to work here.
Is she still in the business or no?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we'll probably get together for a beer. Richmond John, hang out with him a little bit. But then maybe 10 o'clock, I'll bolt, get home by 12, which will be fine. 12:30. If I get home by 12:30, that's a W. Jason hates that.
Last thing he's going to do is get hammered the night before.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying
it would be a nice, it'd be, you make an evening of it.
No, yeah. I agree with you. Look.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to hotel sex, EB. There's something about the hotel.
Every couple
that is superior.
Understands there's something, it's just different.
Yes.
Change.
But I'm more likely to, because actually I have my anniversary coming up.
Ooh,
I'm more likely.
Anniversary hotel sex, even better.
I'm more likely to set up something at MGM National Harbor and go to like Voltaggio.
I like that.
Have my son watch Isabella just before he goes to college. Got to get a couple babysitting sessions in before that.
Right.
Because my anniversary and my wife's birthday are separated by like a week. So I got to do something for at least one of those.
So real quick, I guess we're supposed to hit the skins. Are we going to hit the skins?
Sure, let's hit the skins.
This will be my hit the skins. We were talking about, obviously, the Terry situation, and JP was going through the ESPN stats of all the receivers after 31, like Hall of Famers that just really do drop off.
They threw in Andre Johnson, too. I didn't mention him. So it was Julio Jones, A.J. Green, DeAndre Hopkins, and Andre Johnson.
Well, I actually have Andre Johnson in here to for a couple years, did pretty well. So actually, in his 31 year, he had 103 catches, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns.
That's
in his 32nd year, even with two teams, forgive me, I'm reading Devontae, but I have Andre in here. Forgive me, I'm reading Devontae. No, in his 31 year, he had 112 catches for 1,600 yards. He had, I'm going to make sure I'm talking about it, Andre Johnson in his 32nd year, 109 catches for 1,400 yards. And in his 33rd year, he had 85 catches. So that's one example. Now, Devontae Adams, as Jason mentioned, in his 31 year, he had 103 catches, 1,100 yards. In his 32 year, he had 85 catches for 1,000 yards. Steve Smith Jr. Now, these are outliers, admittedly. Yep. But if they're going to give you guys that don't do it, I would just say, I think that's the argument you have to make. My guy's more built like these guys.
You're being fair and balanced.
Yeah, I'm going to just try to give you the counter to it. So Steve Smith, Steve Smith Sr. might be a nicer comp because they're a little smaller guys, right? They're relative to NFL receivers. So Steve Smith Sr. in his 31 year, okay, he actually was injured. Okay, so he only had 46 catches. But in his 32nd year, he had 79 catches for almost 1,400 yards. In his 33rd year, so he's 33 years old, he had 73 catches for 1,100 yards. In his 34th year, looks like he, down year for him, 64 catches. When he was 35 years old, his first year in Baltimore, 79 catches, 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So very productive late into his 30s. I could go on. Now, these guys are Hall of Famers, yeah. Admittedly.
Best okay? of the best.
But I brought up Hall of Famers.
Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald, you guys remember him. In his 31st year, 63 catches down year for him, he was hurt. Uh-huh. In his 32nd year, 109 catches. In his 33rd year, 107 catches. In his 34th year, 109 catches.
Mm-hmm.
And
stud.
Then he still had other years, 69, 75. He's 36 years old, he had 75 catches.
Yeah.
Okay, now, it drops off. They don't go for 15 yards per catch anymore, but they're still productive. And then
that's
one
what
more.
Kime points to here.
Well, you got
the yardage. Kime points to the yardage. He didn't go through the catches.
Yeah.
When he went through Julio Jones, DeAndre Hopkins, AJ Green, and Andre Johnson, he went to yardage. Andre Johnson, for example, went from 79.1 pre-31 to 63.8. So that was kind of a smaller drop-off. Julio Jones went from 96.2 to 39.5. Before 31, 96.2. After 31, 39.5.
Listen, again, you can make all there's, statistics work for you.
There's always going to be guys that hit that age that don't put up numbers. Always.
Right.
And but I'm sure quarterback play has something to do with it, too.
Of course. But let me just give you two more. And again,
you got to give the best of the best.
Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison, very productive late in his career. 94 catches, 86 catches in his 32nd year, 82 catches in his 33rd year, 95 catches in his 34th year.
And give me the yards.
Okay. 31, 1,272 yards.
All right, give me his yards when he's 28.
1,400.
So a little drop off.
A little bit. I mean, honestly, the yards per reception is kind of what you're looking at, I think, mm-hmm. also. So in his 28th year, 13.9. In his 31st year, 13.5. Actually, in his 33rd year, he had 14. In his 34th year, 14.4. He actually had his second best yards per reception in his 34th year.
Buddy Baker's writing this down, EB.
So if I'm Buddy Baker,
yeah.
I might actually be better than Buddy Baker.
I think most people probably are.
I would just throw these back at you and say, yes, and those are fair, and mine are, you know, admittedly, there's some outliers too, but I think my guy's an outlier.
Can I give the best of the best?
Yes.
When Jerry Rice was 31.
He was my next one.
The numbers, people who never saw Jerry Rice play, I'm sure most people saw him play at least in his last half of his career. But when he was 31, he had 98 catches for 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns. All right. When he was 34, he had 108 catches and 8 touchdowns. When he was 38, he had 75 catches and 7 touchdowns. When he was 40. Hello.
Yeah.
Who's he playing for?
Pay attention.
Is he even the Raiders?
Raiders.
Yeah.
When he was 40, he had 92 catches, 7 touchdowns, averaged 13 yards a carry, 1,200 yards.
No, he was
when
all
he
pro.
Was 41,
yeah.
He had 63 catches for almost 900 yards. That guy was a super freak. Yeah. You'll never see that again the rest of time. A guy who's going to be 40, 41, 42, putting up, you know, pretty good number two receiver numbers.
Well, how old is Mike Evans right now? We saw
30,
Mike Evans.
33,
you know,
maybe?
Mentioned your boy Marshawn Lattimore earlier. Mike Evans torched him in that playoff game, and he's been doing it year after year. Now, they kind of fed him at the end of the year so he could get to over 1,000 yards again.
Mm-hmm.
But you could just point to somebody who's playing right now.
Maybe he's 30.
I'm younger than Mike Evans.
Actually, he's only 31.
Yeah, but Terry's a couple years younger.
But Mike Evans continue to put up some decent numbers to make the argument we're making now, which is that there are guys. It's not a rule,
right?
100% that when you hit 31, you bottom out. There are guys that are exceptions, and if you're Buddy Baker and you're Terry McLaurin, that's the argument you're making, that my guy's different. He's built different. He had less wear and tear on him in college because he didn't play as much until later in his career. He's super dedicated to his craft. He has the traits. He may not be a Hall of Famer, but he has the traits that Hall of Famers have, right? Work ethic and those kinds of things. and the way he takes care of his body. I mean, you just got to make those arguments. And then you say, by the way, have you seen the inter-squad scrimmage or whatever the hell? Control practice against the Patriots? Did you watch, Did you watch yesterday the burgundy and gold?
Do you want KJ Osborne out there?
Yeah, yeah.
You want Chris Moore out there?
Let's get something done. So,
or do you want a dog out there? That's what he'd say.
You know, we again, Grant and everybody there with the media that was capturing the images and there's video some people took, 16 seconds of mm-hmm. video, and you know the lip readers we talked about were going through it. When Terry and I told you when I look at that, I see a little bit of a frosty exchange. I mean, it wasn't bad, but they weren't mean. They were being cordial, obviously.
I agree with you,
but it was a little frostier than say when he's palling around with Jaden or even DQ or the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's good. Having interaction is good. Having talking eye face to face is good. Even though really the negotiation should be with the agent.
It's better than just avoiding each other.
Yes.
For so, 2 hours.
And maybe this was the break. This was the icebreaker, right? So maybe something could get done here soon. When he says, but all the lip readers, the AI lip readers, the human lip readers, they all agree on one thing he said, which is, I just want to play ball. Can you, and I thought, oh, that's, you know, I like that. Can you interpret that as him saying, I just want to play ball either for you or somebody? That's what I went that next step when I was thinking about it. I just want to play ball.
I didn't think of it that way.
I thought of that later.
I just don't want know to play that ball. Terry McLaurin's thinking that. I think he's on the field with his teammates, and mm-hmm. I think he means I want to play ball with these guys.
Yeah.
Not I want to play ball. Not yeah. I want to play ball
That's
anywhere.
What I thought initially.
Like a month from now, if he's still bitter. Then he might want to play ball elsewhere, but I think he wants to play for the Commanders, no doubt.
I agree with that, too. But if you're taking a sort of a contractual stance mm-hmm. and you're with your opponent here on the other side of the negotiating table, you might say, look, dude, at the end of the day, I just want to play ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, either for you or somebody.
Yeah.
But I
guarantee you,
that later.
I guarantee you Adam Peters has told Buddy Baker, we ain't trading him.
I bet you. But what if he gets an offer that they can't refuse?
No, they're not going to get that.
They might, but their offer they can't refuse might be a way lower threshold than what you and I
would. I would be very surprised.
Might be a much lower threshold.
There may be a breaking point. I don't think they're even close to the breaking point where Terry would legitimately want out.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to when he's at Eastern Motors and he's talking for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And even before that, he's talked a lot about his history here in Washington and going through all the losses. And then you finally get there with a great quarterback. I think it would be very tough to leave that situation. You've been through all of that, and now you finally get the rewards of having a good quarterback and winning games and making it all the way to the NFC Championship. I don't see you abandoning ship at that point.
But I'm telling you, I've heard otherwise that he has. I can't confirm it, but I've heard otherwise that he has thought
other
of
teams.
Other teams that he could play for.
Okay.
And thought of other quarterbacks
that, could be
that he would like to play for.
That could be a year down the road.
Or it could be
he might realize
it's one of those things that if break glass, this is what I got to do,
yes.
right? Whatever the cliche is.
Right. Yeah, like I said, there's a breaking point. I don't think he's at the breaking point.
Yeah,
I don't understand that. He's at the if the Chargers are going to pay him $32 million today, he's at that breaking point. And if they would trade for him, he doesn't care. He wants to play. Who's going to pay him the money?
So you agree?
What do you mean, like deep down in his heart, he wants to play? He wants to play for whoever is going to pay him and take care of him with guaranteed money for a long time.
Right. So you agree with my interpretation?
I think he cares. I mean, it would be nice to play for the Commanders and Jaden and have a shot to compete, but he can do that on another team.
So you agree with my interpretation when he says,
I've agreed this
ball?
Entire time that Terry wants to get paid the most, play for whoever's going to pay him the most amount of money. Mm-hmm. I don't think he cares what color the uniforms are.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore.
Well, that may be true, but he's not playing for the Chargers this year. Not unless they trade him in October. They're not trading him in August Chargers.
I'm just saying what JP said. In his heart, he wants to play for.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's got a home
down.
Here.
He doesn't want to leave. I think he wants to. He would leave today
for the crazy amount of money.
I just don't think
there's a team out there that's going to pay him an outlandish number. Because I believe that most teams probably view it the same way.
And I think he has a high preference to stay here. Like you're making equal. It seem you're drab, saying, like all things being equal, he doesn't care and he'll bounce to bounce to the LA Chargers or wherever. I think he has a big preference for staying here. His life is here. He's beloved here.
Yeah, but that's if all things are equal.
Yeah,
Draft's
but not
making
equal.
The argument they're not equal. So the question is, where is the difference? So if like the Commanders are willing to pay him 25, would you rather play here or go to the Raiders where they would actually pay him 30? I would rather go for the 30 at the Raiders because it's different. The difference is big enough.
All things equal, he'd want to be here, of course, but they're not. And he wants to play for whoever's going to pay him $5 million more.
By the way, I just want to play ball as such lip service. He wants to play ball. He can tell Buddy to accept the contract that the Commanders put on the table.
Well, it's lip service, but he's just saying it's his way of saying to Adam, look, I just want to play ball. You work it out with Buddy.
Just keep me out of it?
Maybe.
Yeah, I know, but if Terry really just wanted to play ball, he could say, you know what, I like it here. I don't want to uproot my family. I want to play for this team. I like the regime. I don't think
he's saying that. I don't think he's saying I just want to play ball. I'll play for
whatever.
No. I think he's just saying get the money right. I just want to play ball. I'm tired of the negotiations. I'm tired
Figure
of the BS.
It out.
That's how I interpret it.
Yeah,
I hear what you're saying, Valdez.
There's also the hard line I heard Barstool Nate on with B. Mitch and Finley yesterday, and he's at practice. He's under contract. So go play ball. Like Adam Peters could have said, and he said, I just want to play ball. Adam Peters could have said, so go play ball. You're under contract.
Well, that's what Valdez is saying.
Yeah.
You're agreeing with what Matt's saying.
No. Well, not necessarily, but also, you know, we're offering you an extension that we think is fair. Mm-hmm. And all of this negotiating is just, it's hard on you. It's hard on the team. Like, you can just accept the offer. Like,
yeah, but what if you in your heart of hearts think it's way below my market and you feel a responsibility to other receivers and you just have a professional pride in your way?
Well, then if you're just saying I just want to play ball as in, you know,
I don't care about the money,
then that's not truthful.
Okay, but I don't think when he just says, I didn't interpret it as I don't care about the money, I just want to play ball for anything. I think he's just saying, I want to play ball, you guys work it out. And I'll play for you or anybody. I just want to play. That's how I interpret it. But again, it's all up for interpretation.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's gone far beyond anybody expected here in this room. I didn't expect it to go beyond. I mean, we're closing in on the second preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll talk to Grant Paulson, our colleague, coming up at 8 o'clock about it. He was at the scrimmage yesterday, so we'll get his take on that, Terry McLaurin, and more coming up at 8 o'clock.
Hey, it's Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst and certified financial planner. You may have heard me dispensing financial advice on the radio before, but did you know you can get my money tips on demand with my podcast, Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger? If you have a question about a major financial decision in your life, this is the show for you. Follow and listen to Money Watch with Jill Schlesinger on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.